Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Building on the Rock, produced by St. Peter's Lutheran Congregation of Fond du Lac, located at 1600 South Main Street. Our congregation has had the privilege of serving our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ since 1858. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 7:45 or 10:30, or every Thursday night at 6:30. St. Peter's serves Jesus Little Lambs with a kindergarten through 8th grade Lutheran Elementary School and supports Winnebago Lutheran Academy. We invite you to take advantage of the many opportunities that St. Peter's provides to help you build your life on the rock-solid foundation of Jesus and His Word. For more information, call us at 922-1160 or visit us on the web at www.stpetersfdl.net. May God bless you as together we continue building on the rock. Welcome to St. Peter's Lutheran Church. Visitors, we're glad that you are here with us. As we worship our God, please fill out a guest card before you leave and place it in the offering plate later on during the service. This Sunday is the first Sunday of Holy Week, Palm Sunday. In God's Word, we are encouraged, "Behold, your King comes to you." Please stand for the service of the Word. It's printed in the bulletin on page 2. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children, but we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will. Amen. Let us pray. Pour your grace into our hearts, O Lord, that we, who have known the incarnation of your Son, Jesus Christ, announced by an angel, may by His cross and passion be brought to the glory of His resurrection, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. The first lesson is recorded in Zechariah chapter 9. In the year 520 BC, Zechariah foretold the events of Palm Sunday. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your King comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. The second lesson is recorded in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Christians in the city of Philippi, chapter 2. Christ's exaltation is our assurance that through His humiliation, our servant King secured for us eternal salvation. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of our God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel is recorded in Mark chapter 11. On Palm Sunday, our servant King entered Jerusalem in majestic humility. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it, and he will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." This is the gospel of our Lord. Lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. We direct our attention to Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. This is God's word. The congregation may be seated. This Sunday is March 25th. March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. In 9 months, it will be Christmas Day, the celebration of Christ's birth. So this Sunday is one of those Sundays where a minor festival of the church year lands on Sunday, and it's the festival of the Annunciation. 9 months before he was born, the angel Gabriel appeared to the Virgin Mary and announced that she would give birth to a son. This Sunday isn't just the festival of the Annunciation, it's also Palm Sunday. It's the day when Jesus Christ, our servant king, rides into Jerusalem on a beast of burden, bearing the burden, the load of our guilt and sin, and carrying it to the cross. And there, Jesus would destroy the power of sin and Satan and the sepulcher by his triumphant death. And so as together we see our servant king ride on in lowly pomp to die, we join the adoring crowds and shout out, Hosanna! Hosanna to the Virgin's Son. And who is this Son of the Virgin Mary? Well, he's the Son of David, he's the Son of God, and he is the Savior, which the word Jesus means Savior. 6 months before the angel Gabriel visited the Virgin Mary up north in Nazareth of Galilee, the angel Gabriel visited an elderly priest named Zechariah as he was offering up incense in the holy place of the temple in Jerusalem. Gabriel announced to Zechariah that he and his elderly barren wife Elizabeth were going to conceive a son together. That son's name was to be John, and John's life's work was to prepare the hearts of the people for the coming of the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord's anointed one, the one who was promised to be the Savior of all mankind, to prepare the hearts of the people for the coming of Jesus, our Savior. When Zechariah's time at the temple was done, he went home to the hill country of Judea to his elderly barren wife Elizabeth, and the Lord reinvigorated this elderly couple, and they were able to conceive a son, and that son would be named and known as John the Baptist. When Elizabeth was 6 months along, God sent the angel Gabriel to the Virgin Mary up in Nazareth of Galilee. The Virgin Mary was pledged to be married, was engaged to a man named Joseph. Now both the Virgin Mary and Joseph were descendants of King David. Back then, engagement wasn't like engagement today. Very often today, engagement seems like a glorified going steady, but it wasn't like that in Mary's day. Engagement, betrothal, was a legally binding contract. A man and a woman who were engaged were legally considered to be husband and wife. However, there was no cohabitation and there was no consummation of the marriage until the wedding night, which was usually within a year of the engagement. Now remember, on that first Palm Sunday, the adoring crowds cried out, Hosanna! Hosanna is an exclamation of praise, which means, save us, please. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. Indeed, because Jesus was the son of Joseph and Mary, he truly was the son of David, who came in fulfillment of the 1,000-year-old promise to King David, which says in Psalm 89, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David my servant, I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. Jesus was legally the son of David because Joseph was his legal father, although he wasn't his physical, biological father. Jesus was physically the son of David because he was born of the Virgin Mary, who was physically descended from King David and was physically Jesus' mother. The angel Gabriel said to the Virgin Mary, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Notice, Mary was highly favored by God. Mary was the receiver of grace by God. Mary wasn't the source of favor and grace like many falsely teach. The Virgin Mary was a sinner just as you and I are sinners in need of a Savior from sin. Her greeting, the greeting that the angel Gabriel gave to her, troubled her, and she didn't know what to make of it. But the angel Gabriel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Once again, notice it says, Mary found favor with God. God didn't find favor with the sinner, this virgin named Mary. God, in his favor, in his grace and his mercy, out of all of the descendants of King David, graced Mary with the privilege of being the one who would be the mother of the Great One, the mother of the Son of the Most High. Mary did not doubt that this miracle would occur. She simply wanted to know the mechanics behind it. How will this be, since I am a virgin? So how is it that the Son of David was also the Son of God? Well, it was through the most magnificent, marvelous, the most profound miracle in the history of the world. It's the miracle of the incarnation. Incarnation means to come into flesh. The eternally begotten Son of God came into flesh, cloaked himself in frail human flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And the angel Gabriel explained to Mary how this most profound miracle would happen. He said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." This was in fulfillment of the over 700-year words of the prophet Isaiah, who wrote in Isaiah 7:14, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Jesus is fully God and fully human in one perfect person. Jesus is Emmanuel. How sad it is that so many people scoff at the miracle of the virgin birth. After all, they say, this is the 21st century. In this age of scientific discovery, there is no room to believe that God, this being out there, can intervene in the course of human events. We've gone past the idea of there even being a God, because evolution teaches us that there is no God. There are some people who claim to be Christian theologians, Christian pastors, Christian teachers, Christian professors, and yet they too reject the miracle of the virgin birth. A former leader of this big church body called the Episcopal Church rejected that the virgin birth was a historical fact. He labeled the miracle of the virgin birth as an entrance myth. And by the way, at the other end of Jesus' life, he rejected the miracle of Christ's physical resurrection from the dead, calling it an exit myth. There is one so-called Bible scholar that suggests that the Virgin Mary had an affair with a Roman soldier and she became pregnant by him while she was engaged to Joseph. And so she made up this whole virgin birth thing to dupe Joseph into keeping her as his wife. All of these devilish rejections of this most profound, spectacular, and magnificent miracle turns Christianity upside down. A person cannot reject the miracle of the virgin birth, the incarnation, and still be a Christian. For a couple of reasons. Number one, such a person makes God out to be a liar. Throughout the pages of the Bible, God, without apology, teaches us that the virgin birth is an historical fact. Right from the beginning in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve sinned, God promised that the seed of the woman, not the seed of the man and the woman, but the seed of the woman, Jesus, would crush the head of the serpent, Satan. We just heard from Isaiah chapter 7 that the Lord foretold that the virgin would be with child, give birth to a son, and call him Emmanuel, God with us. Secondly, if Jesus had a human father and a human mother, then he inherited a sinful flesh, a sinful nature, just like you and I have. Then Jesus is no savior of ours because he would be just as sinful as you and I are. But what did the Apostle Paul tell us in Galatians chapter 4? When the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law that we might receive the full rights of sons. Mary was to name her son Jesus. Jesus means Savior. And in order for Jesus to be our Savior, he had to be fully God and fully human in one perfect person. He had to be fully human so he could be born under the law and live under the law in our place as our substitute. He had to be fully God so he could do with that law what you and I could not even begin to do. And that was to perfectly obey all of its statutes, all of its demands, all of its commands, with all of his contemplations, with all of his conduct, with all of his conversations. Jesus had to be fully human so that on the cross he could receive in his human flesh the curse and condemnation that we sinful human beings deserved because of our iniquities and die. He had to be fully God to give that sacrifice the infinite value of being able to purchase a world full of sinners in order to ransom a world full of sinners from our bondage to the power of the devil and our fear of death and eternal damnation in hell. Christ's mighty resurrection from the dead assures us that he has delivered us from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. His resurrection from the dead assures us of our redemption. On this Palm Sunday, we see our humble servant king riding not on a mighty royal steed, but on a humble beast of burden into the holy city of Jerusalem in a majestic, humble way to die. Those shouts of Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest, would soon change to shouts of Crucify him, crucify him. It is with sad, repentant hearts that we watch Jesus hanging on that accursed tree because we know that it is our transgressions our disobedience against God's holy law that caused him to have to suffer such bitter innocent sufferings and death. But it is also with grateful joy that we see Jesus hanging on that cross because he was willing to pass through the pains of perdition so that we could have the glories of heaven. You and I know that Jesus most certainly did secure our salvation, because what the angel Gabriel announced to the Virgin Mary is true, that her son is the son of David, promised to King David, that her son is the Son of God, and therefore he can be Jesus, our Savior. And so we rejoice and say, Hosanna to the Virgin's Son. Amen. And the God of peace himself will soon crush Satan under your feet. The Lord be with all of you. Amen. We confess the only saving faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Almighty God, we thank you for teaching us the things you want us to believe and do. Help us by your Holy Spirit to keep your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Building on the Rock, produced by St. Peter's Lutheran Congregation of Fond du Lac, serving our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ since 1858. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 7:45 or 10:30, or every Thursday night at 6:30. Our address is 1600 South Main Street. St. Peter's serves Jesus Little Lambs with a kindergarten through 8th grade Lutheran Elementary School and supports Winnebago Lutheran Academy. We invite you to take advantage of the many opportunities that St. Peter's provides to help you build your life on the rock-solid foundation of Jesus and his Word. For more information, call us at 922-1160 or visit us on the web at www.stpetersfdl.net. We'll be back next week with another edition of Building on the Rock. Until then, God be with you.